Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Ksubas Daf Kuf Vov. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage and then go to option 2. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf Gemara before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur begins 10 lines from the top of Daf Kuf Vav. Bishnei de Rav Yosef, in the years of Rav Yosef, during his time, have a rischa, there was anger, rage, heavenly rage, and that manifests itself by famine coming upon the area. Amri le Rabbanan le Rav Yosef, liboy mor rachami, would you pray for us? Omar lehu. And then Rav Yosef responded, and you can see now there's the tie-in to the Gemara that we saw in our previous year. We have a little arrow indicating to look back at Kuf Hei Amud Beis, where we made a reference to the prophet Elisha. Hashtah Uma Elisha, and we should also point out a series of diamonds. You see quite a few of them as you go down the page, under the Nosei Mivneh heading on the side, the Chihavu Rabbonan Miftari. That's the expression that we'll be highlighting, that when the students, the rabbis that assembled around the figures that are mentioned in the Gemara, we'll start with the prophet Elisha. Then we're going to skip a few generations later, and we'll speak about Rav and Rav Huna, Rav and Rav Yosef, Abaye and Rav Ashi. All these are names that we've underlined as the Gemara continues. Each one of them had given public Torah lectures, and the rabbis, when they would get up from there, there would be a certain number that remain behind that would continue eating together with the Rav. Misperei Atalmidim Shnisharu Acharei Siyum HaShiur. We will feature the numbers of rabbis, of students, that continued sitting there after these leaders finished their Torah discourse. B'meshech HaDoros HaMispor Yoreid. As we go on generationally, you'll see that the numbers become reduced. So Rav Yosef, after being requested to pray on behalf of the community at this time when God was in a state of great displeasure, Rav Yosef tells the community as follows: Amai Elisha, mind you, the great prophet Elisha, the Chihavu Rabbonan Miftari Mikamei, when the rabbis would get up from his lecture, after his lecture would be finished, there would be those that remained by him. Rashi says, Oichle Shulchano, people that would eat at his table. How many would remain? Paishi, there would remain Trei Alfin Umosin Rabbonan, 2,200 would remain. Yet Beidin Rischa Lo Havaboy Rachmi, at the time of God's wrath, he knew this was the time to remain silent. He would not pray. Hano Iboy Rachmi, I should pray. Umimai the Paishi Hachi, and how do you know that 2,200 remained behind to eat at Elisha's table? Dechsiv, the Pasuk says, Vayomer Mishorso, Mo Atain Ze Lifnei Meyaish. What am I to serve to these to 100 people? We should point out that in our previous year we had a Pasuk from Malachim Beis, Perek Dalet. Yesterday's Pasuk was Pasuk Mem Beis. It was found at the bottom, lower part of Kuf Hei Amud Beis. A man had come from Baal Shalisha, and he brought to Elisha, and mentioned in the Pasuk, he brought Esrim Lechem Sorim, 20 barley loaves of barley bread, 20 loaves of barley bread, and Carmel, another food item, Bitziklono, in his he brought it in his receptacle that, in which he carried these things. So now we have we're aware that in this, in the context of this story, there are 20 barley loaves that we know, and just a correction. We have to make a correction regarding the numbers. There were 22 loaves referred to in the Pasuk. Rashi clarifies that point. The Pasuk had said there were Esrim Lechem, and then there was Lechem Bikurim. That's, we have 20 loaves, and then Lechem Bikurim, that's another one, 21, and Carmel accounting for 22. So we know about 22 loaves. The Gemara continues, "My lifnei me'aish." We have in the pasuk we read, pasuk mem gimel, the servant of Elisha had said, "What am I to present to 100 men?" So, what is meant by that? What's bothering this servant in saying, "What am I going to give to 100 men?" My lifnei me'aish. If the idea is simply to take the 22 loaves and give them to 100 men, in the time of famine, that's a lot. That's one loaf practically for, it's a little more than one, or it's almost one loaf for four people. It's like enough one loaf to go between four and a half people. That's a lot. So what's the servant all worked up about in terms of how is he going to feed the men? Ella, rather, the cholchad v'chad kami me'aish. What this servant is asking, how am I supposed to feed the 100 men? It meant that there's only one loaf. Then there were 22 of them. One loaf for 100 men. Well, if there's one loaf for 100 men and there were 22 loaves, that shows us that there were 2,200 people that sat by Elisha's table that remained with him after his discourse. And we continue with this this number illustration, and you can rest assured that the Gemara is probably hinting, there are hints here, there are remozim that are beneath the surface of the Gemara, but we in Gemara markings don't indulge in analyzing those things. We're just going to present the simple explanation here. Ki havu miftri rabbanan mibei Rav, after the shiur given by Rav, havu paishi alfa umosan rabbanan, there remained 1,200 that remained with him after the shiur. Mibei Rav Huna havu paishi tamni mea rabbanan. When Rav Huna finished his discourse, 800 remained behind. There's a bracketed section, and the reason for the brackets is simply to give you the feeling of continuity. If you skip the bracketed section, you see that the numbers continue as the generations proceed. Within the brackets, there's there's added description regarding Rav Huna's shiur. So, that having been said, we continue in the bracketed section. Rav Huna havidorish betleiser amoroi. When Rav Huna was lecturing, we're talking about a period at which there wasn't a microphone, or if his shiur was on Shabbos, they wouldn't have had a microphone to begin with. So there were, we called a human PA system. That means that the Rav would say over his material to an individual who then would, in a loud voice, project it to the public. That individual is called an amora. I don't know if it comes from word Omer or Omar, but if it does so, then you can see the root of the word. Rav Huna, when he lectured, he had 13 of these people, each one projecting their voice in a different direction, giving you a feeling of a very large crowd. Kavu kaimi rabbonim misifta de Rav Huna v'nafsi glamayu. When the rabbonim would arise at the end of their shir, We'll assume, just for the sake of illustration, that they sat on the ground. It might have been dusty on the ground, and when they would get up and shake out their garments, havasolik avka, the dust from their garments would rise, the kosi le leyuma, and it would darken the sun. In other words, it would appear overcast. The Amri b'Marava, and this phenomenon was visible, though Rav Huna was in Bavel, this phenomenon was visible in Eretz Yisrael, and they would say in Israel, Komule mimesifta de Rav Huna Bavla. It looks like they're getting up from the lecture of Rav Huna the Babylonian. Of course, once again, when you're dealing with the laws of gravity and how high can the dust really fly and the geographical distances and all that, that leaves room for understanding this Gemara as being a hint, a remez to something of a much deeper nature. Ki miftiri rabbonon mibei rabov Rav Yosef, when the rabbonon would get up from the lectures given by Rabba and Rav Yosef, havu paishi arba mea rabbonon, there would remain 400. The koru lenafshayu, and Rabba, and they would call, they would refer to themselves as yasmi, as orphans. I think that we should understand this in the context of the decline in numbers vis-a-vis the previous generation. So they refer to themselves as orphaned. There are only 400 of us left behind. Kihavu miftiri rabbonon mibei Abaye, v'amri lo mibei Rav Popa, v'amri lo mibei Rav Ashi. And these, we're dealing here with succeeding generations, and there are different versions concerning whom the following applies, either Rabaye, Rav Popa, or Rav Ashi. Havu paishi moson rabbonon, there would remain only 200 behind, the koru nafshayo, and they refer to themselves as yasmi diasmi, the orphans of orphans. As you can see, we have a slash mark indicating that which follows is a new idea. On the side, we have a nosei mivne heading, where we feature a double underline, one of our series markings, and we've written that this will highlight the expression hayu notlin schoron mitrumas halishka. Different people that would take their wages from the temple treasury, or that temple treasury known as the Trumas Halishka. The temple, the Beis HaMikdash, actually had different monetary funds. People would dedicate money and specify to which money fund they want their dedication to go. One of them was the Trumas Halishka. And also, you're probably familiar with the concept of the Machzis HaShekel, the half shekel tax that was collected every year, and that money was also put into the Lishka, into the temple office in which funds were collected. So it's important, before getting into this Gemara, just to be aware that there are different money funds within the context of the Beis HaMikdash. We continue in the note on the side. Rishima shel mitzos, we'll see a list of different occupations. Shehayu notlin schar mitrumas halishka, where their wages were paid from that particular fund called the Trumas Halishka. The Gemara. Omer Yitzchok bar Radifa, Omer Abami, mevakrei mumin shibishalayim. Mum is a blemish. This is a concern when bringing animal sacrifices, that the animal is blemish free. So you need people that were skilled in checking animals for being blemish free. Those were called the mevakrei mimumin. The mevakrei mimumin in Yerushalayim would get their wages or their fee paid from that fund, the Trumas Halishka fund. It's also noteworthy that the Trumas Halishka fund was in general used for sacrificial purposes. Omar of Yudomar Shmuel, Talmidei Chachomim Hamalamdim Hilchus Shchita LeKehanim, the scholars that would teach the laws of slaughtering, another aspect of sacrificial activity, those people who taught the laws of Shechita to the Kehanim, hoyu noitlin schoron mitrumas halishka, they would be paid from that same fund. Omar of Gidol Amarav, Tamid Chom Lamdim Hilchas Kemitza LeKehanim, the sages that would teach the laws of meal offerings. Kemitza is the procedure where when a meal offering is brought, a handful of the meal offering is taken by the Kohen. It's called a kamitza, and that's put on the Mizbeach. That's what's offered in general when you're dealing with meal offerings. And there was a procedure, a process, or a skill involved in doing the kamitza. So people had to be trained. So the trainers of the Kohanim would noitlim schor mitshumas halishka. They got their fee, again, from that same source. Omar Rabo Bar Chanan Rav Yochanan. Magiei Sforim Shibusholayim. Magiei Sforim are people, we can call them possibly proofreaders. Those were people that would check the Torah scrolls to make sure they were mistake free. So that is also a skill, and it gets paid a wage. They got paid from the Trumas Halishka fund. Omar Rav Nachman Omar Rav. Noshim ha'orgois beporochois noitlois schoron mitrumas halishka. Vani omer mikotche berek habayis. Hoyu uporochois tachas binyon asuyos. In the last three, four lines that we read, you can see there's an aleph and a beis. We saw Rav Nachman quoting Rav as saying that the women that would weave the curtains, poroches, are material, is material covering of entranceways, so that the women that wove those would get paid according to the Aleph Pshat, namely Rav, from the Trumas Halishka. And Rav Nachman says on his own, before he was quoting Rav, here he says, and I kneel when I say that the payment was from the Kotche Berek Abayas. The Berek Abayas is a fund that's used for temple repairs. And Rav Nachman is explaining why would the curtains be paid from that particular fund. So he says, since the poroches, since the curtain stood instead of a built structure. Now we can say a word about this in a specific context. This is an idea that you can see in Maseches Bava Basra. It's elaborated on, and it will become relevant for our Gemara as well. But just to be aware of the following: in the second Beis Hamikdash, which was a structure that was physically larger, dimension-wise, larger than the first Beis Hamikdash. So whereas in the first Beis Hamikdash there was essentially a wall with a doorway, an opening, an entranceway within the wall between the Holy of Holies and the rest of the enclosed part of the Beis Hamikdash, the section in which the menorah and the Shulchan Azov, the Mizbech Azov stood, there was a wall in the first Beis Hamikdash. It was called the Amah Traksin. And it was a wall that measured 30 amas high, and it was an amah thick. In the second Beis Hamikdash, which was not just 30 amas high, it was 100 amas high, structurally, it would have been unsound. From an engineering standpoint, it would have been unsound to have a very tall, relatively thin wall standing there. So in its stead, instead of the wall, they set up very large material, large curtains that served as the separation between the Kodesh and the Kodesh HaKadoshim. That's in the second temple period. So in the meantime, if we want to translate Rav Nachman, he's saying that the Noshim Ha'orgos B'Porochos would get paid from the Kodesh Berek Abayas, which is a source that deals with what we'll call the maintenance of the physical structure of the Beis HaMikdash. Since those curtains in the second Beis HaMikdash were instead of a structure which had been there at that location in the first Beis HaMikdash, so they were to be paid from that money that's used for structural maintenance. Meisvei, we raise we present a Tanaic source that challenges the Beis approach. The approach of Rav Nachman. It says Noshim Ha'orgos B'Porochos. Now notice we dashed underline that, and at the end of this source you can see where the frame continues. At the end there's again a dashed underlining. It says Mitrumas Halishka, and that is what is the source of difficulty for the Bey's Pshat for Rav Nachman's Pshat. Whereas he said Mikotche Berek Abayas, this Tanaic source, which of course precedes Rav Nachman, this says from Trumas Halishka. So let's read the whole source. Meisvei Noshmo Orgos Porochos Ubeis Garmu Al Maisa Lechem Upon it. Beis Garmu is the name of a family that had expertise in preparing the shoe breads, the 12 loaves that stood from week to week in the Heichal. Ubeis Avtinas Al Maisa Toros. Beis Avtinas is a name of another family that knew how to prepare the incense offering. Kulan Hayu Notlos Schor Mitruma Salishka. So all of these, including the Noshim Orgos Porochos, would get paid from the Trumas Halishka fund. What did Rav Nachman say about the Noshim Orgos Porochos? He said they get paid from the Kotshe Berek Abayis fund. The answer is there's no difficulty. Hasam B'Debavi, the source that spoke about from Trumas Halishka, those were curtains that were placed to cover the entranceways. Existing entranceways that were built into various walls of the Beis Hamikdash, and a curtain was placed to cover the passageway, the entranceway, for tznius purposes of modesty, that things shouldn't be exposed. The Omar Rebbe Zera Omar Rav Shloisha Asar Porochis Hoyu B'Mikdash Sheni. There were in fact 13 curtains in the second Beis Hamikdash. Shiva Keneged Shiva Sharim, 7 that were placed in the 7 gateways. Echad the Pischo Shel Hechal, 1 an 8th curtain for the entranceway to the Hechal. V'echad the Pischo Shel Ulam, and another 1 at the entranceway to the Ulam, the antechamber leading into the Beis HaMikdash, leading into the Hechal. Shnayim B'Tvir, and Shnayim Kenegdon B'Aliyah. There were 2 more curtains in the Dvir. The Dvir is the point of separation between the Holy of Holies, where the Holy Ark was located with the Ten Commandments in it. At Second Beis Hamikdash, that wasn't actually there, but still there was the section of the enclosed area that was called Kodesh Kodashim, and the rest of the Heichal. So there were 2 curtains there, and Shnayim Kenegdon B'Aliyah, there was a second story, a second floor to the Beis Hamikdash, where opposite, vertically speaking, opposite the Shnayim B'Dvir, there were 2 more curtains in that second story, just above the main floor of the Beis Hamikdash. Now, the Shnayim B'Dvir, those are the curtains that Rav Nachman was referring to when said that the women that prepare those, they'll be paid from the Kodesh Berek Habayis, because those curtains were the ones that separated the Kodesh Kodeshim from the Kodesh, where in the first Beis HaMikdash there was an actual built-up wall there. So since these curtains are coming to replace an aspect of the Beis HaMikdash physical structure, therefore their payment is from the Berek Habayis, the Temple Repair Fund, as opposed to the Trumas Halishka. Tonu Rabbona, Noshim HaMagadlos B'neim Lepora, who notably Schorin Mitrumas Halishka. There's a lot of background for understanding this, but let's try to be as brief as we can. The Pora Aduma was processed with a great amount of rabbinic imposed stringency attached to it, and there's a reason for it. We don't have to get into that. All we have to know is that in drawing the water for the Pora Aduma water ash mixture, the ones that did so would have to be totally defilement free, totally pure, and totally pure to the extent that they couldn't have encountered even some kind of questionable tumas mace, defilement to the dead. How can you possibly avoid any form of questionable tumas mace? Wherever you walk, you don't know. Maybe underneath there's a body that's buried. So there were families that dedicated themselves to raising children up till a certain age, say 8 years, 9 years old of age, they were dedicated to raising them in a tumor-free environment. How exactly that's done, that's a subject in unto itself. All we have to know is that there were children that were raised for the purpose of the poraduma that we just mentioned, and that involved the women caring for those children under special environmental circumstances. They were paid for that, and they got paid from the Truma Salishka. Abba Shol Omer, Noshim Yekorois Shibushalayim, wealthy women of Jerusalem, Hayuzonois Oisan, Umefarnas Oisan. They were, their food needs and their clothing needs were taken care of by these wealthy Jerusalemite women. So there's a, would appear there's a machlokas then between the Tanakamu says that the children, these children's funding was from the Truma Salishka. Abba Shol says no, it was from voluntary dedicated women, volunteer women from Jerusalem. Bo minei Rav Huna mei Rav. Rav Huna asks of Rav, we continue at the top of Omid Beis, Kli Shores Mahu Shiyasu Mikotche Berek Habayis. Rashi at the top is essential. He says, these are vessels that were used in the offering of sacrifices. There was the offering of sacrifices, the sprinkling of the blood, done on the outside, in the temple courtyard altar. And we're referring to the vessels used in the context of sacrifices offered on the external temple altar. In paying for the fashioning of these devices, these vessels, what was the source of payment? So can you use temple repair funds for their provision? What are the sides of analysis, or two sides of how to analyze this, and we've noted them Aleph and Beis. Tzorech mizbeach ninu umikotshe berek habayis asu. Since these service vessels are being used for the mizbeach, and the mizbeach was a built structure, it wasn't a portable vessel, it was built up from stone, lots of stones, and the Gemara elsewhere describe exactly how it was made, but it was a built structure. So now, vessels for a built structure maybe have the status of a built structure, and as such, the source of payment for them would be Kodesh Berek Habayis. Or maybe Tzorach Korban Ninhu, Umichua Salishka Hoyu Osinosan. Or maybe the vessels are used for the offering of sacrifices. And just like sacrifices themselves are purchased from the Trumas Halishka money fund, so too the vessels used in offering the sacrifices should be paid for from the Trumas Halishka. Amar Lei, so Rav answers, Ein Nasin Elo Mitrumas Halishka. The Kli Shores are paid for only from the Trumas Halishka. You notice as you look down the page, you see a couple of triangles on the side under the Mivneh heading. A triangle is featured, and we indicate Kushos al Rav. These are questions on Rav. Shomar the Kli Shores boy Mitrumas Halishka. Rav wanted to say that payment for these vessels comes from that fund, the Trumas Halishka fund, and we're going to attempt to challenge that. Esvei, here Rav Huna asks on Shitas Rav. Rav said that the kelim for the mizbeach are purchased only from the Trumas Halishka. Here we have a posuk, and this posuk is in Divrei Hayomim, and we should point out that the posuk is in the context of expenditures from the Berek Habayis fund, and it says ukechaloisom when they finished being mechazek, strengthening the physical structure of the Beis Hamikdash, heviu lifnei hamelech v'yoyodo es sha'ar hakesef. They brought the remaining money vayaseu kelim the Beis Hashem klei shores. They used the money for purchasing service vessels. And the pasuk goes on to say there in Divrei Hayomim, v'halos v'chapois v'chleizov v'chesav v'umalim oiloi space Hashem tomid kol yemei Yehoyada. So you can see that these vessels were used in the context of offering sacrifices. So what's the money source for these vessels? It's the Bedek Habayis Fund. Omar Lei, Rav says to Rav Huna, the Akrayach Ksuvi lo Akrayach Nevi. Whoever taught you Psukim from the later writings known as the Ksuvim, of which Divrei Hayomim is a part, did not teach you, apparently, the prophets. It says in the Book of Kings, in the Melachim Beis, Achlo ye'ose beis Hashem sipois v'chulei. You shall not use the Beis Hashem, that's a reference to the Bedek Habayis, you shall not use it for the purchase of klishores. There's a missing words that you see here, v'chulei, on the side of the Gemara. We have the rest of the pasuk. It says, "Achlo yase beis Hashem sipois kesef mazmeros mizrokis chatzoyses v'kol klei zav v'kol klei kesef mina kesef amuva beis Hashem." And it goes on to say in pasuk tezvav, "Ki la'ose hamalocha yitnuhu." So that the pasuk is saying that you're not going to use the Bedek Habayis funds for the making of the, for the purchase and the construction, the fashioning of vessels. So that's Rav's response. From this pasuk in Melachim, you see that Bedek Habayis funds are not to be used for the vessels. Rather, the Trumas Halishka funds indicated earlier. Now you see we have a bracketed section. If you skip the brackets, you'll see another triangle, and that enables us to see the continuity of the Gemara. Now a new question on Rav. In the meantime, till this point, then Rav answered the question that was raised on him from Divrei Hayomim, from citing a pasuk in Melachim. Now within the brackets, the obvious question though is raised. Now we have a contradiction in Psukim. How do we deal with that? And so now, without any further ado, we go into the brackets. Ihachi kashu kroya dodi. Well, if that be the case, then we have a contradiction in Psukim. The Pasuk in Divrei Hayomim indicates that vessels are purchased from the temple repair funds, from the Bedek Habayis source of funds. And Melachim Beis, Perek Yud Beis, Pasuk Yud Aleph indicates that temple repair funds are not to be used for purchase of service vessels. Lo kashya. There is no difficulty in the psukim. Kan shegavu v'osiru, kan shegavu v'lo hosiru. Where they, govu means they collected money for the temple repair funds, and they had leftover funds. They made all the repairs necessary, and the temple structure was fine and sound, no need for any further expenditures, and there was money left over, so they could use that leftover money for the clay shores, for the service vessels. However, if they collected money, and all of the money needed was for the physical structure, then you can't use any of that money, you can't divert any of that money for the purpose of service vessels. The Gemara asks, "V'chi gavu v'hosiru mai have?" Even if they did, they collected and there was leftover money, how does that enable us to purchase sacrificial service vessels? The money, when it's collected, it's collected with a specific purpose in mind, and that purpose imparts a certain level of sanctity to the funds, which in the case of temple repair funds, is a type of sanctity that's not sacrificial sanctity. It's not Kedushas Korban. And the service vessels that we're speaking about are vessels used in processing sacrifices. So they have to have the sacrificial sanctity. So how do we gain anything by referring to leftover funds as if they're available for service vessels when the sanctity attached to those funds is inappropriate for the service vessels? Omar Rabbi Avo. Rabbi Avo answers, Leiv Bezdin Masna Lehem. Literally, the heart of the court stipulates upon the collection of the funds. Namely, that when the funds are collected, it's done with a stipulation. Im hutzruchu hutzruchu. If the funds are needed for the berek habayis, so then they have kedushas berek habayis. V'im lav, if they're not used for that, you, l'kli shoreis. So then it's a given at the initial point of collection that this money, if it's left over, is then granted or labeled with kedushas korban for clay shoreis, for service vessels. You see that we have an internal brackets. This is really to isolate the discussion concerning the Tana debate Rabbi Yishmael. But as far as answering the contradiction in the Psukim, that we have accomplished. Now, the Tana debate Yishmael, this is a Tanaic source from the Yeshiva of Rabbi Yishmael. Tana debate Rabbi Yishmael, Klei Shoreis Boyin Mitrumas Halishka. The service vessels are purchased from the Trumas Halishka funds. Shnemar, the Pasuk said, and we saw this Pasuk above, Es Sha'ar HaKesef. Interestingly, the Tana Rebbe Shmuel doesn't have the problem that Rav Huna suggested one might see from this Pasuk. Because according to Tana Rebbe Shmuel, the Pasuk itself is referring to funds that are other than the Berek HaBayis funds. The Pasuk made reference to the Sha'ar HaKesef. Ezu Kesef Sheesh Lo Shirayim. What money has leftovers to it? These expressions are a bit abstract. The Gemara will explain that further. But what kind of money is described as having something of it which remains? Eve Omer, Zeh Trumas Halishka. That's the nature of the funds collected for the Trumas Halishka. As I say, later in the course of the Gemara, we'll gain a better understanding of what you mean when you say funds that have a leftover aspect to it. The Gemara asks, V'eimo shirayim gufayhu, maybe the purchase of clay shoreis doesn't come from the actual Trumas Halishka funds that were initially collected, but rather only when you see there's leftover money after the korban needs were cared for, after all the necessary sacrifices of that year were purchased, and then you have leftover money, so use that leftover money for the purchase of clay shoreis. The Gemara says no. Kedoma Rava, as Rava says in a different context, we'll apply that over here. Rava says elsewhere, ha'oila, the Pasuk makes reference to the korban with the hay in front of the word ha'oila, that's called hay hayadiyah, and we learn from that, ha'oila rishona, the first ola. Without getting into details, Rashi gives you more background to that, but the hay is a letter of accentuation. So, hachinami, so to over here, the Pasuk made reference to Shar HaKesef. The word HaKesef is preceded, the word Kesef preceded with a hey, that's Kesef Rishon. The initially collected funds also can be used for the clay shoreis. And the Pasuk simply was referring to the Trumas Halishka funds by speaking about the leftovers to indicate what kind of money has a leftover aspect to it. That's the Trumas Halishka. But you don't have to wait till you see the leftovers in order to use the money for the purchase of clay shoreis for service vessels. On the side, we have a subtopic heading. The reason we call this a subtopic because we're continuing in the main topic of presenting questions on Rav. Rav, who had said that service vessels are purchased from the Trumas Halishka funds. Here on the side, we've written Mokar Akaspi. The source will deal with the money source, the Rechishas Tvarim Shonim, for the purpose of the purchase of acquisition of different things. Rubam Churim LeBeis HaMikdash. Most of them are associated with the Beis HaMikdash proper. Meisvei. And in this source, you'll focus on that which is dashed underlined. That's what's the main thing for our current discussion. And in the source, even before we read it, you can see it says, Kli Shoreis Boyin Mimoisar Nesachim. The Kli Shoreis are purchased from a different fund not Truma Salishka, but something called Mosar Nisachim, another term that we'll have to define later in the Gemara. So now we have a list of things. The incense offering and all public sacrifices are purchased from the Trumas Halishka funds. Mizbeach Hazov, Kleishores, Boyin, Mimosar, Nesachim. The golden altar, which is not a structure, it's a vessel, and other service vessels are purchased from the Mosar Nesachim funds, and that's not like Rav. Mizbeach Oila, Halishachas Vazoros, the courtyard altar, it's called the Mizbech HaOlah. It's a large built structure as opposed to a vessel. And the Lishachas are chambers, and Azoros are courtyards, and meaning all the funds needed to maintain these, Boyin Mikoche Berek Habayis. I'm sure that's no surprise to you by now. It comes from the temple repair funds. Then there's an area called Chutz L'Choymas Vazorah, outside the wall of the immediate temple courtyard. There were other areas beyond that, and the maintenance of those, Boyin Mishore Halishachos, that would come from leftover monies that were left over from the Lishka funds. Zuhi Shishaninu, and it's this that has been taught elsewhere, the following. Choyma Su'ir Migdolosel, the city walls, Jerusalem city walls, and towers or turrets, the whole Tzorchei Ha'ir and all other municipal needs, Boyin Mishore Alishka, come from the leftover funds of the chamber funds that were left over. At this point, though, we have come to the end of a long question, and that is, how can Rav say that the Klei Shores are purchased from the Trumas Halishka, when in this source, Klei Shores are purchased from a different fund called Mosar Nesachim? The Gemara says, Tanoihi. The issue is a machlokes Tanoim, Desnan. And here you see a Tanaic source. You see some names that are underlined in the source. And references, we have to pay attention to references for the Klei Shores. So if you look in the source, even before reading the content of the source, note the dashed underlining. You'll see the first dashed underlining states Mosar Truma L'Klei Shores. The next dashed underlining, you see Mosar Nesachim L'Klei Shores. There's another dashed underlining, but that matches the first dashed underlining of Mosar Truma L'Klei Shores. So for what is the source of monies for the Klei Shores? You see different opinions. Machlokes Tanoim. So that the source that we saw by the triangle, the most recent triangle that suggested Klei Shores or Mosar Nesachim, that will correspond to the opinion of Rebbe Akiva that we're about to see in this source. And that which Rav mentioned, that the Klei Shores are from the Mosar Truma, that corresponds to other Tanoim, like Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Chanina Sgana Kayanim. So now let's see the Machlokes Tanoim, Desnan. We read the Tanaic source, Mosar Truma Ma Hoyu Oisin Ba. Funds that were left over from the Truma Salishka, as we indicated, every Rosh Chodesh Nisan, there would be the use of funds that were collected during the month of Adar for the purchase of this new year's sacrifices. Every year, and the year changeover was at Rosh Chodesh Nisan, the sacrifices bought for that particular year have to be purchased from the newly collected funds, the funds that were collected during the month of Adar, which precedes Nisan. What about a situation where there had been money left over from last year's collection, and all of that year's sacrifices have been already purchased and offered, and there's money left over at the point that you're collecting now new funds during the month of Adar, and comes Nisan, you see a surplus of funds that remain from last year. That's the Mosar Truma. So what do you do with those funds? the source tells us, Rikuei Zov, Tzipui Lebeis Kotshei HaKadoshim. Those funds were used for the purchase of gold plates that were used to cover the walls of the Holy of Holies. Rashi says the walls and the floor were covered with these gold plates. The source goes on, Rabbi Shmuel Omer, Moisar Peros Leketz HaMizbeach, Mosar Truma Lekle Shores. There's a new expression, more we'll deal with the Peros later on, that's why we have a dot underline for that. But in the meantime, Rabbi Shmuel says that the Mosar Truma was used for the purchase of service vessels. Rabbi Kiva Omer, Mosar Truma Leketz HaMizbeach. He has a different use of the Mosar Truma. Those monies were used for the purchase of sacrifices that would be offered on the altar, public sacrifices that weren't, they were not a mandatory or obligatory sacrifice. They could not be used from last year's funds. Here we're dealing with sacrifices that would be brought during the downtime of the Mizbeach, that when the Mizbeach was not being used for offering either public sacrifices or personal offerings that people were bringing to the Beis HaMikdash, there would be if there would be downtime, it's not derech eretz, it's not fitting for the Mizbeach to appear botel, to appear disengaged. So something called Ketz HaMizbeach, those are the sacrifices used to create the impression that the Mizbeach is constantly in service. Rabbi Kiva goes on to say that the Mosar Nesachim, that was used for the clay shores. So note that Mosar Nesachim, that's something different than Mosar Truma. Exactly how you come to a case of Mosar Nesachim, Rashi gives a great deal of background to that. But just for an example, if a person was a wine flour supplier to the Beis HaMikdash, and he had agreed to supply a certain quantity of wine and flour for the wine offerings and the meal offerings at a certain price, and the man was given the money for that, and then the price dropped so that there would be leftover funds. Those leftover funds would be called the Mosar Nesachim. There are other explanations regarding that, how you can come to that. You can look in Rashi for further detail, but it has to do with, as we said, funds that are left over as a result of the purchase of wine and flour for the Beis HaMikdash. So the leftover funds from that are called Mosar Nesachim, and according to Rabbi Kiva, those monies would be used for the Kli Shores. Rabbi Chanino Sgan HaKoyanim Oimer, Moisar Nesachim Leketz HaMizbeach. He argues with Rabbi Akiva that the source of funding for the Ketz HaMizbeach, according to Rabbi Chanino, was the Mosar Nesachim, as opposed to Rabbi Kiva, who said that was the Mosar Truma. And Mosar Truma Leklei Shores, and again, you can see how he argues point for point with Rabbi Akiva, with Rabbi Chanino saying the Moisar Truma was used for the purpose of the Kli Shores. Vizeh lo hoyu moidim beperos. Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Chanino both do not agree. They don't acknowledge the phenomenon of peros, which would have led to Mosar peros. That's a point that Rabbi Shmuel had made reference to. He introduced Mosar peros for the purpose of Ketz HaMizbeach. So in this source, if you were to ask what is the source of funds for the Ketz HaMizbeach, you see there are three different opinions. Rabbi Shmuel saying Mosar peros, Rabbi Akiva saying the Mosar Truma, and Rabbi Chanino saying the Mosar Nesachim. But that's, that's a bit of a side point. What we really wanted to emphasize in learning this source is that the issue of the source of funding for the Klei Shores is a machlokas tanoim, with Rav being able to support his opinion on Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Chanino Sgan Hakonin, both of whom agree that the Mosar Truma was used for the Klei Shores. just like Rav had said. The Gemara asks, Peros mai hi? A reference was made to Peros. What does that mean? Desanya. Mosar truma ma hoyu oisin ba. What would be done with leftover funds from the Trumas Halishka? Loikhin peros bezoil umochin osom biyoker. Fruit would be purchased by the Beis HaMikdash purchasing agent. He would buy fruits at a cheap rate, we could say at a wholesale rate, or from a location that things were really cheap, and they would then be sold at a place of expense, where things would be more expensive, so that that differential between how much they paid for the fruits initially and how much they were sold for, that's the profit. V'haschar, with that extra money, mekitzin boy es hamizbeach. They would use that money with that profit for Kates hamizbeach. This was what Rabbi Shmuel had said. Mosar peros l'kates hamizbeach. V'zuhi shishoninu mosar peros l'kates hamizbeach. As we said, we saw that earlier in the in the name of Rabbi Yishmael. Mai ze veze lo hoyu modim beperos. Reference was made to Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Hanina as not agreeing with that. So what does that mean? What are they coming to tell us? Disnan. Mosar shiorei lishka. Again, we mentioned before the Mosar Trumas Halishka. What would be done with the leftover monies? Again, this is now another approach. So, what's their approach to that? So, Mosar Shorei Lishka, Mayo Oisin Bohen, Lokhin Bohen, Yenois Shmonim Vesiltois, Vaschar Lehegdish, Divrei Rabbi Shmuel. You can see that this idea of lochen ben yenos shmonim sutos, wine, oils, and flour, and then speaking about profit, this is what was mentioned in the source just before. The terminology was a little different, but it's the same idea, where in the source just before we saw lochen peros bezol, mochanos and neschar. That was all part of Rabbi Shmuel's view of things. And we mentioned that Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Hanina Skana Koinim did not agree. That's what we're presenting to you right over here. Up till now, this was Rabbi Yishmael speaking about the profiting from using the temple funds and deriving profits from them. Rabbi Akiva Omer, and here is the name along with whom you would attach Rabbi Hanina Skana Koinim. Rabbi Kiva says, "Ein mistakrin b'shel hektish af lo b'shel aniyim." You don't use Beis Hamikdash funds in commercial terms, even though it's ultimately for the benefit of the Beis Hamikdash. But it's not proper, it's a dignity, as he explains right now. B'shel hektish my time alo. Why don't you invest Beis Hamikdash funds in commercial ventures? Why not? Answer, Ein anius b'mokum ashirus. Literally, is the signs of poverty aren't to be demonstrated or shown in the place of opulence. The idea of buying and selling is a means of amassing money. Who needs to amass money? Someone who lacks the money. A poor man. The Beis HaMikdash is a place of it's a place of wealth. All of the Jewish people used to contribute to the Beis HaMikdash, and it was a place of glory, not a place suited to have commercial activities being a part of its operations. Another point that Rabbi Kiva mentioned was also, we don't do commerce, we don't practice commercial ventures with monies collected for the impoverished. B'shel aniyim my time alo. Answer, Dilma Misrami Lu Anya Valeko Lemesfa Le. we're fearful of, constantly, let's see, aware of the possibility of a poor man coming to the door of the gizbar, the treasurer in charge of the poor man's fund, and if the money is being invested in commercial ventures, albeit to increase the money available for the poor at some time in the future. But right now, if the poor man comes to requesting funds and they're not available, so you see, what have we gained? So we want to make sure that cash is always available for the poor at any given time. Hence, we don't invest the monies, thereby ensuring the money's always available for the poor. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us in order to access marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.